when God sends you a warning through your animals. Well, I can tell you're all excited about it. I can tell by the response. It's just overwhelming. The overwhelming response. This is going to be interesting. And it came to me while I was preparing for the summit. And I thought, you know what? I've never touched this subject. I've never talked about it. So we're going to have a little bit of fun. Very solid teaching. Some prophetic stuff thrown in here is thrown in here as well. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 22, verses 22 through 23. And I'm going to read to you a story where the king of Moab was paying Balaam, a seer, a prophet, to stand on a mountain and curse Israel. God told him, don't go. Then God said, don't go again. They were going to pay him. He went anyway. In Numbers chapter 22 through 23. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, because Balaam went. The angel of the Lord took his stand in the way. It even talks about, in one translation, a very narrow passage, as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now, the donkey saw the angel. Everybody say, the donkey saw him. And the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into a field. The donkey had more sense than the prophet. Then in Numbers 22:28, and the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you for that you have struck me these three times? Now, if a donkey starts talking to me in an audible voice in my language, I'm running. Or I'm going to call a circus and say, how much money you got for a talking donkey? I watched Mr. Ed growing up. Remember Mr. Ed talk? Everybody watched Mr. Ed growing up. And this has always intrigued me, because does God open the donkey's eyes, or are the eyes of the donkey already open to the spirit world? And did he just encounter something that was there that was in the spirit world? So it's a good question to ask. And the question I want to pose to you today is, you have pets. Does God open the eyes of your pets at certain times to see angels or demons or sense wicked people that are on the front porch? Does God actually keep their eyes open in the spirit realm where we can't see? Now, that's a big question, because I don't believe demons are floating everywhere in the air. I don't believe angels float everywhere in the air. I don't believe you bump into an angel every day of your life. Because there's 8 billion people on the planet, and only so many demons and so many angels. But I'm going to pose this question for you and tell you some stories. But we're going to also, of course, it's a prophetic summit, so we're going to have to delve into a little bit of prophecy. Balaam was a seer that existed in the time when the children of Israel were coming out of Egyptian bondage. He didn't listen to God. He didn't listen to the angel, and he was not paying any attention to the inner voice that told him what to do and what not to do. So here's what the Bible says. Now, y'all love King James. How many like King James? Right? Here we go. King James. A dumbass talked to him. Don't fuss. It's King James only day. The more modern translations will say a dumb donkey spoke to him. So anyway, I wanted to make that clear, that that is in the King James translation. And the funny thing is, I thought, okay, there's Balaam, right? There's the donkey. There's the angel. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So I want to kind of go here today and begin by telling you that God, throughout the Bible, as you know, uses animals to represent kingdoms. He represents empires and can even represent individuals. We are sheep. No, I'm not. I'm a human. I don't walk on four legs. I walk on two. But the sheep imagery is used because sheep are dumb. Without a shepherd, they get in trouble. They eat stuff that'll make them sick without a shepherd. They step on rocks that'll send them off a cliff without a shepherd. So Jesus is the shepherd and we are the sheep. So that's just a quick example there of how those analogies are used. But the In the book of Daniel, for example, animals are used to represent the empires of prophecy. Daniel 7:4, the lion represented the empire of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 5, the bear that was seen in Daniel's vision with three ribs in its mouth represented the Media-Persian Empire. And then in Daniel 7 and verse 6, he sees a leopard with four wings, and that represented Alexander the Great. Now, the reason these animals are used to represent these empires of prophecy is that in Babylon, there was a winged lion, and they gave it a certain name. And those winged lions did not literally exist, but they were carved in stone at the entrances of the palaces of the kings, at the entrances of the worshiping where the gods were worshipped in Babylon. So that emblem became associated with Babylon. The lion-looking creature with the wings, imagery of Babylon. The Medes and Persians, and the Media-Persian Empire, look it up on a map, was massive. But the Medes and Persians had some of the largest bears in the Persian mountains of anywhere in the world. And they were very vicious if you encountered them. So that's why God chose bears to represent the Media-Persian Empire, because bears literally were a part of the Media-Persian Empire when Daniel wrote this. And then following the Medes and Persians came the Greeks, and someone said, well, why is Alexander the Great represented by a leopard? Do you know how fast he took over everything? And by the time he's 32 years of age, he's taken over most of the known world. He is one of my favorite military personalities. He was a military genius. And of course, his kingdom was divided among his four generals. And that's why the Bible uses the imagery of that leopard that has four wings, because those wings are plucked up when Alexander the Great dies and the kingdom is divided among his four generals. So that's the reason why God chose those three emblems to represent the empires of the past. Now, here's where it gets to me extremely interesting. The final kingdom, which is coming in the last days, which is going to be the eighth kingdom of prophecy, the last one before Jesus actually returns to earth, is going to be the kingdom of the Antichrist, which rules in Daniel. Time, that's 1 year. Times, that's 2 years. Half a time is 6 months. 3.5 years or 42 months. That's why in the book of Revelation, it says that this beast rules for 1,260 days or 42 months, because it all ties in with what Daniel saw of time, time, and dividing of time, a year, 2 years, and half a year. That's 3.5 years. But I want you to notice the verse that describes the empire of this beast that's coming. Because in the book of Revelation 13, 1 through 3, we'll bring that up now. John wrote this and said, I stood on the sand of the sea, I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. And there's two Greek words for beast. One is the word zoon, which are the heavenly creatures that are angels of the ox and eagle, lion and man that are called a beast. But it's not a negative word. It's a word for life in Greek. But then there is therion, which is wild beast, teeth, claws, violent, deadly, causing death. And that's the word used when you deal with the beast kingdom, the Antichrist kingdom, or this empire that's coming. But look at this. See if this makes sense to you. I stood on the sand of the sea. I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. That's the Mediterranean Sea area. You can read that in the book of Daniel, the Great Sea of the Mediterranean Sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. I've never preached on the blasphemous name on the head of the beast. That's a whole nother teaching that we'll have to do sometime. Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. The beast is like a leopard. His feet like the feet of a bear. His mouth the mouth of a lion. And Satan the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Did anybody see three animals named here that I just told you about? Babylon, Media Persia, and Greece are represented by the leopard and the bear and the lion. Why is that important for you to understand that? Because I went ahead and did a map and made a list of where these past empires, if you combine the leopard, Alexander the Great, if you combine the bear, the Media Persians, if you take the lion and put all of those nations together, where they're at now, here is the kingdom of the beast that's coming. 14 nations. 11, by the way, of the 14 are Islamic. That's important. It takes up the territory of Lebanon, Syria, and there's a map that shows you some of the places. Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Israel. Of course, the battle will be over Jerusalem, the Jews, and Israel in the last days. Egypt, Libya, Ethiopia. Those three nations are mentioned by name in Daniel 11. It also will include Morocco, which is in northern Africa. It will include all of Turkey. It will include Armenia. And it also includes the country of Greece, because Alexander the Great formed the Grecian Empire. So if you look at this list and get an idea of that map, keep that map up for just a moment. This shows you the territories, some of the territories at least, where the Antichrist will have his strength. Have you noticed where they are? All in Islamic stronghold nations. And this is why I wrote, one of the reasons I wrote in 1991 and 92, Unleashing the Beast, talked about the 12th Imam, which was told me by a girl from Iran, from Persia, who spent 6 hours explaining to me the 12th Imam and the Mahdi in 1991, when nobody but me and George Otis Jr. were preaching it. Amen, Brother Stone. Amen. Now, just thought I'd throw that out there. A little punch there. Punch in the gut. You know what I'm saying? Now, and that's really true. Now it's changed. I'm thankful for it changing. I'm thankful for more men seeing this than they used to. All right. Now, in Scripture, Satan has at least four animal symbolisms. Four animals that have a representation of his character. Those four animals are, and I think we have a picture here. Yeah, we have the serpent, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2. And the serpent in Genesis 3 and 1 is crafty and very subtle and very sly and very deceptive. That's why he is a picture of a serpent. In Luke 10:19, behold, I give to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, why scorpions? Because a scorpion has a sting that's very painful. And the Bible talks about the sting of death and how the sting of death has been taken away from those who die in Jesus Christ. We don't feel it the way that Satan intended it. So that's where the scorpion comes in. Then we have Leviticus 16 and 10. There is the goat. There are sheep and there are goats. And on the Day of Atonement, when the priest would offer the two goats, one for Azazel and one for the Lord. Azazel was a name given in the Old Testament time, another name for Satan. And the Azazel goat is the one that the priest would lay hands on and transfer the sins of the priest, the priesthood, and the Israelites on the head of that goat. And that goat was led into the wilderness, where it was pushed off of a cliff, where it would die. And so the goat represents the enemies. It's a representation of a person that's not real, a person that's hypocritical, a person that's two-faced, a person that's deceptive. Now, why is a goat represented by that? Because who was deceived by goat skin? Jacob put it on his arm, deceived his daddy, right? Y'all still listening? And twice in the Bible, men of God were deceived by the kid of a goat, the skin of a goat. And that's why the goat represents deception. And that's where that goat imagery comes in. In the church of Satan and in witchcraft, the goat's head is the emblem of Satanism and certain witchcraft groups. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Here's the fourth one, and it is none other than a lion. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I've been to Africa several times and was able to go on two safaris. And I never will forget that they take you into where the lions are. I am from here to there, to the pack, to the group of lions. You got a mommy, you got a daddy, and you got the cubs. And the God plainly, he takes a pistol. He goes into a vault and puts a pistol beside him on the front seat. And he says this, don't make any quick moves. Sit there. If you take a picture, move slow. Don't stand up. And lo and behold, she had to be from America, because they're the only ones in the world that don't listen to anybody and think they know it all. this lady says, I got to have a picture. And she jumped and held that picture up. And that mom went, and I just about slapped me a woman down to the ground and let the lion eat her. I'll go to the Greek word. What is it? Moranos? It's translated in the King James as a foolish person or a fool. I just felt like saying, well, you moron. And then, wait a minute, it don't end there. We see a hippopotamus. It's as far away from here to that camera. And it's got its back to us. And the guy says, we ask you to please remain seated. What does she do? She climbs out of the place and goes up and wants a close-up. And that hippopotamus turns, and a hippopotamus can kill you. And I just wanted to make sure that if I ever did another thing like that, where I would go out on a safari, don't bring the moron. Because I would rather be a live chicken than a dead hero trying to rescue somebody from a lion. Preach on. Okay, amen. Those four symbols of animals represent Satan. In heaven, God also uses animal imagery in Revelation chapter 4. And there are four living creatures that are before the throne of God. And it appears to me that they're at the four corners of the throne, like the north, the south, the east, and the west of the throne of God. And they are worshipers. That's all they do. Imagine from the beginning of creation, they basically have said the same thing over and over. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they worship him. They're the ox and the eagle and the lion. Why an ox? Because an ox bears heavy burdens. Why an eagle? Because an eagle is the king of the air. It flies high above the storms and it has eyes to see its prey at a long distance. And then the lion, of course, is because Jesus is considered in the book of Revelation the lion of the tribe of Judah. But let's go to a controversy. Wait, we haven't started preaching yet. Help me, somebody. We're just laying a little foundation. I know you say, get to my pet. I'm going to get to your dog and cat in a minute, okay? I know you love your dog and your cat. So you're just watching the brief excerpt on Manifest. I'll get to the dog and cat in a minute. But let me talk to a moment something that has puzzled people for years, and that is a talking snake. In the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, there was a serpent that was at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember, there's two trees in the garden. There's the tree of life, that as long as they eat of the tree of life, what happens? They live forever. That's what the Bible says. But then there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. The reason it's there is Satan had already fallen. Evil was already in the cosmos and in the universe. So God gives a choice between good and he gives a choice between evil. And all of a sudden, Eve goes up to this tree and looks at it, and there is a serpent that's wrapped itself around the tree, and the serpent basically begins to tease her and say, oh, has not God said you can eat of every tree of the garden? And she says, yeah, except this one. And he says, oh, listen, God's trying to withhold his blessings. There's such a blessing eating from this tree. You will have knowledge of good and evil. Now, I'm not going to tell you the book because I don't want you looking at it, because not all books that are outside the Bible are good books to read. But there was an old book that was handed down by Jewish tradition, and it says that the reason the serpent, you listen to this, this is crazy. The reason that the serpent has wrapped itself around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the serpent had been eating the fruit. Now, I'm like Rick Renner. This was not Satan incarnation as a snake. This was a snake. This was a serpent, but it was able to talk. Listen to what Josephus, the Jewish historian, wrote about animals talking. Quote, all animals shared a common language before the fall of Adam and Eve. The dog didn't just bark, and the cat didn't just meow, and the cow didn't just moo. Every animal could communicate before the fall. Josephus says the serpent was envious because it lived with Adam and Eve and was capable of speech. So it was a creature Adam and Eve were familiar with. The enemy will get you on familiarity. Preach on. Okay. Then Josephus says that when Adam and Eve sinned, that God cursed the serpent. And we can look at that. In fact, right up here, this is interesting. There is a snake with a foot that was found in China, an actually living snake. And then there's a fossil with that. This is the fossil that was found in Jerusalem. I believe it was near Ramallah. It was at a rock quarry and it had legs connected to it. Okay. The serpent walked upright. Am I right, Rick? The serpent once walked upright on legs. And then God put a curse on the serpent after the serpent was involved with the fall of Adam and Eve and took his legs out from under him. And I like to say that's when he defeated him.
The world's premier prophetic voices were all in one location for an end-time prophetic summit. The 2026 conference messages are now available, unedited, on DVDs, CDs, MP3 audio, and on digital download. 7 speakers, 14 messages in 3.5 days. Attendees call this a Bible school in a vinyl case. Here are the message titles. Jonathan Kahn preached on war harbingers in Persia and gave us an update on America's demonic battle. Rick Renner preached 3 messages, powerful Greek word studies concerning your personal spiritual warfare, breaking down the details of second coming signs, the rapture and the revealing of the restrainer. And then this great message called The Mystery of the Holy Spirit from the original Greek New Testament. Joseph Z., How to Keep Revelatory Movements Alive in the Earth and Mastering Your Prophetic Experiences. Bill did one of the greatest messages I ever heard. It's called The Mingling of the Iron and Clay Has Begun. Dr. Brian Cutshaw came in with the fire and anointing of God and preached today's battle for Holy Grail, the final Ishmael and Isaac clash. Jeremiah Johnson taught a word called the 5 Satanic Strategies Before You Birth a Breakthrough. My 5 messages were the Iranian Revolution and the aligning of the last coalitions. Then I preached when God sends a warning to you through your pets and animals. The 3rd message was called America and Jerusalem's Coming for Your Harbingers. The next message was how, when, and why the earth and heavens will melt with fire. And the final message I preached was Prince Spirits and Archangels, the battle for the fulfillment of the prophecies. The 14 audio CDs are $65 a set. The 14 DVDs are $95 a set. And you can also get the USB flash drive for $65, and you can look into getting digital downloads. There is an offer number for each one of these. It is important to get the right offer number when you're ordering, whether it be CD, DVD, or whatever the case may be. Now you can order online at perrystone.org. Or you can call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. Or if you'd like to mail a check for the amount and also put what you're ordering with the offer number, you can go to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. And remember, put the offer number in there as well. You need to get started in your personal study. This was the greatest prophetic summit or conference I've ever been in, and I want you to hear everything that was said. God bless you.
Well, it's a beautiful day in Tennessee, but it's going to be a beautiful day at your house when you hear 14 hours of teaching from the top prophetic ministers in the world. And I'm going to say this from a very sincere heart. I'm just not saying it. This was without a doubt the greatest prophetic summit we've had in the history of the ministry as far as the content was concerned. The Greek word studies, the Hebrew word studies, the brand new information, the digging into the word. I mean, I was amazed. I'll be quite honest with you. And our people said that some of our partners have never missed a prophetic summit. They said it was without a doubt the most informative, content-filled, insightful meeting we've ever had. So please take the time to get these resources and listen to them. DVD, audio CD, MP3 player, and you can also purchase them, it's my understanding, by digital downloads if you use computers and you're familiar with how to do that. This is I honestly think for the seasons that we're in and all the end time things happening, This is a must for you to understand. And you can have Bible studies in your home. You can bring your family in and watch it together. It's so important right now. It really is, because the Bible says we should not be in darkness, that the day should overtake us unaware. So please consider that at this time, if you will, please. Very quickly, in the month of August, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm coming to Huntington, West Virginia at Christ Temple. We're coming, as the old expression is, loaded with bear, with a word from the Lord. And I want to tell you what's happening recently. The altar services have become powerful and dynamic, with the gifts of the Spirit operating and things happening. And we're believing that we're getting into not just a preaching mode for these conferences, a preaching anointing, a right now word. We believe we're getting into the time where the ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to get strong in all the altar services. And part of that is due too to the fact that I'm getting my strength back. It used to be when I would preach, I'd be so exhausted, but now I'm getting my strength back. They've discovered what my problem was after years, and we're thankful for that. So we're ready to come to Huntington. Family Faith Church, we always go Friday and Saturday morning and Saturday night to the Willis campus on August the 14th and 15th, and the 16th we go to the Huntsville campus. So Texas folks, I'm imploring you, you've never let me down when I've come to Texas. You've always filled those buildings up. We've always had a great time of fellowship and a move of God together. So please join us there. And Springdale, Arkansas. Now, all you Arkansas folks, you say, come to Arkansas. We are. And it's going to be the 22nd and the 23rd. I've messed up a few times and said it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's not. It's a Saturday and a Sunday, August the 22nd through the 23rd. And of course, we're coming to the White Mountain Apache Nation, September 3rd through the 5th. So please keep all of that in mind. Perrystone.org is where you get the itinerary. Perrystone.org is where you can learn about the Legacy Club. Brand new outreach for partners we've started. Our partners are so excited. We're getting new partners literally every day because of this brand new resource that we're making available to whoever would desires to be a part. And also, I am getting ready for the 50th anniversary homecoming in October. All of this information is at perrystone.org. God bless you. I want you to join me and our entire family for a one-time historic event. On Tuesday night, October 6th through Saturday, October the 10th, Pam and I will host our 50th anniversary of ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee. This is our homecoming event. I have 5 new messages, including a major prophetic update. Special morning speakers are going to be John Brevere, Mario Morello, and Dr. Tim Hill. Lyndall Cooley will be leading us in worship. But listen to this. You're going to enjoy some of the best gospel music on the planet. Southbound is coming. Lee University Campus Choir, Old Tradition from Kentucky, Brian Free and Assurance, and many others. And don't forget Pam's Fall Festival on Saturday afternoon. It's fun. It's fellowship. It's food. It's fantastic. Now, the event is free to attend. However, you must register at perrystone.org. Do it today.